Well, believe it or not, it's already 2017. It's hard to believe in my mind. I don't know if this is true of you, but the older I get, the faster the years seem to go by. Does others relate to that? It seems like 2010 was just yesterday, and all of a sudden it's 7 years later. But here we are in 2017, and that means that 2016, it's in the record books. It's gone. That chapter is now over, and we start a new chapter. And for many people, when they start off and they launch out in a new year, they make New Year's resolutions. It's where they resolve to do something. They may resolve to go on a diet. They may resolve that they're going to do exercise. They may make a resolution about having a new relationship, or maybe start a new hobby, or do something different in their life because it's a fresh start with a new horizon, with new opportunities in a new year. But here's the question for you. How might a Christian approach a new year? Now, when I say the word Christian, I don't say it lightly. It's somebody who is truly in their heart put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, right? Who they believe that Jesus died and Jesus rose again in their hearts. Like we made that declaration of faith this morning, it's real in your heart, right? That's what a genuine Christian, how might a genuine Christian approach a new year? Well, it might go something like this, you know, with your heart wide open to God saying, "Oh God, what do you desire for me in 2017? What is your will for my life in 2017? Well, that brings us to the new sermon series. It's called Life Changing Verses. Each week we're going to look at a verse in the Bible that can literally change your life if understood and then applied to your life. We're going to look at the context. We're going to look at the book that we've landed in. And today, as you can see, I hope you each got one of these, but you see, instead of sermon notes, normally you know I put together sermon notes, but instead of sermon notes, this time you're just going to have a scripture card. And if you want to make it look a little bit better, I cut mine a little bit to make it business card size. You can put it in your wallet, put it on your car, you can put it on your dresser. I'm hoping you're going to compile a whole group of these scripture cards, and that you're going to use them and they're going to make a big difference in your life every day, maybe going over them and thinking about the difference they can make in your life. Well, obviously, when you look at the scripture card today, you know where we've landed. We're in the book of Deuteronomy. Some of you may be wondering, what is the book of Deuteronomy? Well, it's the fifth book in the Old Testament, part of the Pentateuch, they call it, which is the first five books, and it's the books of the law in the Old Testament. The author is Moses. He wrote it probably around 1,400 years before Christ was even born. Here's the situation. After wandering 40 years in the desert, God's people are about to cross the Jordan River, and they're about to enter the promised land. And so what does Moses do? He compiles these farewell addresses. He puts these like speeches together. We might call them sermons today. And he's teaching the people. And the purpose of his farewell addresses is to prepare God's people to enter the promised land. He wants to get them ready. Why are they farewell addresses? Because he's not going into the promised land. God told him no, and he's going to die before he enters. And you can read about that in the Bible. And the focus of Deuteronomy is the love relationship that the Lord has with his people. Always remember that when you study Deuteronomy. This is not dry, dusty law. It's about a relationship. And what does a relationship involve under the old covenant? But obeying God, knowing God, fearing God. We're going to look at that today. And Deuteronomy is an important book because there are over 100 quotes or allusions in the New Testament with the book of Deuteronomy. Today we've landed in Deuteronomy chapter 10. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, Moses recalls God's amazing grace and mercy that's shown to God's people, giving them another opportunity to start over again after they had sinned against the Lord. In chapter 9, he reminds them about their idolatry. Remember, they bowed down and they were worshiping a golden calf. Moses was up on the mountain 40 days, 40 nights, and Aaron, his brother, fashioned this golden calf. I mean, this calf out of gold, and they were worshiping it. But even though there were consequences for that, God didn't destroy his people. God didn't give up on his people. God didn't walk away. He reaches out once again in love, undeserved love, grace. He doesn't give them the punishment they deserve, mercy. And that's what chapter 10 is about. The first 11 verses is all about that. So if you have a Bible, you can open up to Deuteronomy. It's easy to find. It's the fifth book in the Bible. We're in chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. Then there's a commentary there. We're going to skip that. I'm going to go down to verse 10 through 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. We want to welcome our oldest member of the church, John. Thanks for coming. It's good to have you, John and Doris. Come on in and find a spot. There's plenty of spots to go sit down. We're actually just digging into the Word of God right now. We're in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10. There are pew Bibles, by the way. If you want to get a Bible for yourself and want to follow along, you can take a look at it. Here's Deuteronomy, chapter 10. I'll read verses 1 through 5 and then 10 through 13. Now remember, this is after he recalled and addressed them about their idolatry, about their sin. So you keep that in mind, the context of it, in Deuteronomy 10. At that time, the Lord said to me, chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones and come up to me on the mountain. Also make a wooden chest. I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. That's God's humor there, because you remember what Moses did when he found the people were committing idolatry. He blew up in a rage and he smashed the Ten Commandments. But God here is giving them another chance to start over again. Which you broke, Moses, then you were to put them in the chest. So I made the ark out of acacia wood and chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones. And I went up on the mountain with the two tablets in my hands. The Lord wrote on these tablets that he had written before, the Ten Commandments he had proclaimed to you on the mountain, out of the fire on the day of the assembly. And the Lord gave them to me. Then I came back down the mountain and put the tablets in the ark I had made, as the Lord commanded me, and they are there now. Verse 10. Now I stayed up on the mountain 40 days, 40 nights, as I did the first time, and the Lord listened to me at this time. It was not his will to destroy you. Whew! Go, the Lord said to me, and lead the people on their way, so that they may enter and possess the land that I swore their fathers to give them. God is giving them another chance, another opportunity. And so what does he ask now? And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good. That is the reading of Deuteronomy chapter 10, 1 through 13. And the main verse and the life-changing verse for today is Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. After God showed this amazing grace and mercy, this is what God now asks of his people. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? Meaning, in light of God's grace and mercy that he's shown to you, this is to be your response to the Lord your God. You see, it's personal. It's about a relationship with the living, loving God of the Bible. Three times for emphasis. In verse 12, he says, the Lord your God. This is a relationship. This is something that you can actually put your arms around here with God. And I want you to remember, it's the Lord your God who is asking you this, people of God. And what does God require of us? What does God desire from us? Well, number one, Moses says in the Word of God, to fear the Lord your God. Fear, fear, fear. We're all afraid of something or someone, are we not? Every single one of us experiences different types of fears. Fear of rejection, fear of the unknown, fear of the dark, fear of failure, fear of spiders, fear of snakes. There's so many different types of fear. Now, those are unhealthy fears because they often paralyze. When you're gripped with fear, you know what I mean? Whether it's of the dark at night, your heart is gripped with fear, you're like, you're kind of paralyzed. But did you know that there is one healthy fear? There's one healthy fear that we're supposed to have. It's the fear of the Lord. In this case, it's personal. Fear the Lord our God. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to fear the Lord your God? It's a reverential awe, respect, and honor for God. It's that wow experience you should have with God. When you get to know who God is, and when you get to see the bigger picture of God, should step back in awe and wonder and going, wow, that's who God is. And there should be this inner fear, this reverential awe, wonder, and respect and honor for God. The Bible says in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. How many of you are familiar with the Chronicles of Narnia? As I wrote a note to me. Do you see some of the movies that were out? C.S. Lewis wrote a series, and they took them and made them into movies. And one of the movies in 2008 was Prince Caspian. And in that movie and in that book, Prince Caspian, Lucy, who's one of the human characters in the book, goes to see Aslan for the first time in many years. Aslan is the Christ figure. He's that big lion. Remember the big lion in those movies? He represents Jesus Christ. And the first words when she goes to see Aslan, the Christ figure, for the first time is, you're bigger. And he responds and says, that's because you're older. Every year that you grow, I become bigger. You see, the point is, as you begin to grow and mature, you get to see God in a greater, bigger light. Let me read to you what I wrote. As we grow, mature, and gain an accurate understanding of God, it should leave us speechless and breathless as we stand in awe and wonder with the fear of God. As we recognize God's greatness, how awesome and incredible God truly is, a holy fear should come over us. And that holy fear that we have, that one healthy fear, should actually lead us to godly confidence. Because when we begin to see how big and awesome and incredible God is, in the same way we go, oh, yes, but that God is on our side. That wonderful God is in our corner. That wonderful God is our friend. That God is our Father, and we are His children. So what does God desire for us in 2017? Well, according to Deuteronomy 10:12, it's to fear the Lord your God, and it's to walk in all His ways. When the Bible says to walk in all His ways, the His is God, right? To walk in all God's ways, it's a metaphor. And what it's picturing is actually taking the hand of God and allowing Him to take you down His path. You willingly allow God to take you down His path. That's the metaphor that we see in this particular phrase. Jody and I love to go down to Cape May. We really do. And we love to walk along the promenade there. It's that concrete walkway that goes along the beach and the ocean. And we walk all the way down to the gazebo there, and we see the sunset. Now, we did that last Sunday. The weather was drastically different. Trust me, we're not going to go do that today. I don't think we're going to do that today, are we? No, she's saying no. But last week it was 50 degrees. Remember how warm it was? And we went down to the promenade, and we didn't have the church's mascot with us, little Bella, as you know. Bella the dog. And so what we did is we went down, we knew exactly where we were going to go, what we were going to do. We agreed on it, and we actually held hands together as a couple in love, a married couple, and we held hands and we walked down that promenade. We did the entire thing, and we went front and back, and then we went down to the gazebo. Jody actually took a beautiful picture of the sunset and put it on Facebook. Some of you like that. Some of the Facebook people are waving to me. They remember that. But you know, when we went down there, we decided we were going to be together. We decided we were going to walk side by side. We decided that we were going to hold hands and go in the same direction. That is an illustration of what we're supposed to do with God, where we have a love relationship with God, where we willingly walk with God and we allow Him to take you. And you're wondering, well, where's God going to take me? Get a good, readable, understandable copy of this book and begin to read it and understand it. Even this one verse today gives us insight to what God wants. You'll know the direction God wants for you through the Bible. But you walk with Him and you take His hand and allow Him to take you down His path. When my parents were in their retirement years, they had devotions together every morning. They called it our time apart. Some people call it having a quiet time where you spend time with God. They'd go into their bedroom, they'd read the Bible together and talk about it. They'd read devotional material, and then they would pray together. And at the end of their time together, this is the prayer my dad would pray every day. And I'll tell you why I know it in a moment. But this is the prayer. Dear Lord, fill me, teach me, use me, hold my hand, and we'll skip through this day unafraid. It's to walk in all His ways. You know, when I visit my mother or she comes here, we have devotions together, and she closes our devotions with this prayer. Dear Lord, fill me, teach me, use me, hold my hand, and we'll skip through this day unafraid. What does the Lord require or desire for us in 2017? To fear the Lord our God and to walk in all His ways and also to love Him. We're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That is the first half of the greatest commandment, meaning we are to love God with everything that we've got. But you need to know that there is an emotional dynamic to this word that is translated love. To love Him has an emotional dynamic, meaning we are to pursue a heartfelt, ongoing, vibrant friendship with God. You know, I've mentioned it many times. It's worth repeating because I know that I struggle with it, and you probably do as well. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. Religion, simply defined, is people's attempt to try to be approved by God, accepted by God, making things right with God through good works, trying to be a nice person by going to the right church, lighting candles, whatever kind of good works. And we kind of get in that mode, thinking that we can only be accepted by God if we perform, perform, perform. But it just is not true, because Christianity is about a relationship. It's about God's grace. God reaching down to us, knowing how much we mess up, which we do, I believe, every day. We sin every day. And God is reaching down and saying, I love you. Take my hand by faith, and He'll pull you up, and He will embrace you in His loving arms. And if you will surrender, let go, abandon yourselves to Him, yield your will, you take His hand, and you will walk down the road, the path that He has for you, unafraid. And you do it in a love relationship with God. Think for a minute about someone that you love. I don't know, you might choose your wife, your spouse, it could be a friend, it could be a grandson who's here today, or it could be a daughter or somebody. Think about someone that you love. Maybe it's your son that you're thinking about. When you love someone, you want to spend time with them, do you not? You want to spend time with the person that you love. And as they say, the old adage says, and I think it's true, oftentimes for children and others, love is spelled what? T-I-M-E, right? Love is spelled time. Well, that's got to translate to your relationship with God. It's got to be time with God. Getting to know Him and letting Him speak to you in the Bible, His Word. Spending time in prayer. Practicing the presence of God. Getting to know God on a personal level. That's what it means to love God as you pursue that ongoing, vibrant friendship with God. So what does God desire for us in 2017? Well, according to Deuteronomy 10:12, it's to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, and then finally, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And that means it's time to roll up your sleeve and get into action. Get into action with everything that you've got. That's what heart and soul is. The heart and soul means the totality of the inner self. It's where you, on the totality of your inner being, get into action with all that you've got to serve God. Now, this is an amazing truth, but every single Christian, every single person who is a believer in Jesus Christ has spiritual gifts, talents, abilities, passion, experiences, and personality. You take all those together, that amazing passage, package given to you by God, and you are to use it to serve in the church. Because in this dispensation, the church is the vehicle, is the means by which God is advancing His kingdom. Whether you like it or not, it's the church. And in the church, everyone is a minister. Whether you're a young girl who just had a birthday recently, or you're the oldest person here today, and everybody in between, everyone in the church is a minister. And that means that everyone has what? A ministry. Everyone has a ministry. Everyone is a minister. I'm pulling out this piece of paper here. It's called the Ministry Opportunities Listing. I put this together, and it's a handout in the New Life class that I teach, and I'm hoping to do maybe at the end of this January. And we'll have to talk to CE about that once again. But there are so many opportunities for you to serve in this church. And God needs you. We need you to step up. We need you to get involved. I'm just going to give you a couple of ideas so you know exactly. Like in worship and music, we have a choir. They practice on Thursdays at 7:30. And they're looking for singers. Right, John? They're looking for singers. Same with the worship team. We're looking for people who play instruments, who sing, who might want to work the soundboard. That's with the tech team back there. You see Bob and Tom back there each time. They need some helpers. They need some people who might want to learn. You can join the tech team and learn about that. We have food and friendship on Sundays, and you can bring and provide baked goods. And also with Christian education, we have Youth and Children's Sunday School. Teachers are needed. Children's Church. Teachers and helpers are needed. Life groups, a small group ministry, which we hope to reintroduce there coming in the spring. There's a plan that's brewing for that. Facilitators and hosts are needed for that. Nursery workers are needed. The deacons are looking for people who will visit shut-ins and seniors who can't make it out. We need people to help with the food pantry, right? We need people who might want to help out with the food pantry. The stewardship is part of our church. The trustee committee, looking for people who are gifted in making repairs and doing work projects. The missions, they go to the Atlantic City Rescue Mission once a month. You could go there. Family Promise, a ministry to homeless people we have right in our church. I'm not reading all of them just to let you know. You might be thinking, why is he reading the entire sheet? I'm missing maybe two-thirds of them. There's small print. There's two pages of ministry opportunities. It's amazing. There's God's Connection Team, being a greeter in our church. The Fellowship Committee, working with them to put on great events of fellowship every month. Women's Missionary Society, meeting this week. Prayer, men's ministry, women's ministry, helping put the lamplighter together once a month. I mean, the list goes on and on. There are opportunities. You need to pray and say, this is a new year, right? What am I going to do in 2017? Well, God wants you to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. That's what God wants. And so, according to Deuteronomy 10:12, and now, O people of God, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. I find it interesting that as verse 13 kind of closes off this section, Moses writes to the people about these directives. It's for your own good, he writes. And so this is motivation. When you fear, you walk in obedience, you love God, you serve the Lord your God, it's for our own good. And it gives God glory. What we would say is, it's good for you. This is something that will bless your life and that you will get the benefit from. That's what Moses is trying to tell us through the Word of God in Deuteronomy 10, verse 13. In the Old Testament, God showed his people grace, mercy, and love after they rebelled against God by worshiping a golden calf. God gave them another opportunity to live for him. And let's face it, you know, our story is not much different than the people in the Old Testament. Because we too have sinned against God. We have fallen short of God's law, will, and ways just like they did. We've been stubborn just like they were stubborn. But just as God showed grace and mercy to God's people in the Old Testament, God has shown greater grace and mercy to us at this time, in this covenant, under the new covenant, under Jesus Christ. We've been shown an amazing amount of grace by God. We've been given this undeserved, unmerited kindness and love. And grace actually is an acronym that stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. I heard someone else mention this in a prayer meeting that we had, and I thought, this is right on. Here's a great scripture verse, one of the greatest scripture verses in the Bible. It's 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, God made him. Now the him is Jesus, okay? God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in union with Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. That when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you're given a right standing with God, a right relationship with God. You're enabled to live rightly by God. Because what? Jesus paid the punishment for your sin and my sin on the cross. He took our place. He was our substitute. And 3 days later, he defeated death and came back alive again. We serve a risen Savior. So when we think about Jesus Christ, we think about his death, his life, his resurrection, it should motivate us, just like it did in the Old Testament. And when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you need to know at that moment, God's Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, to empower you, enable you. And out of love for God, out of appreciation for God, out of what God has done for you, according to his grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, you step out and you live for him. And you follow what this particular passage is telling you. So, we've come to a new year. It's 2017. We're already a week into it. And we ask as Christians, what does God desire of me? Well, God answers in this verse in Deuteronomy 10:12. According to this verse, is to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. But you do so by God's grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.